Yes, buddy. Come on down, man.
This is cool.
We made it.
Look at this place.
Raise Turner, man.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm so pumped, man. Welcome to No BS with SB.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It's fun because I know you by heart.
Mm-hmm. For a while, man.
But I never talked with you.
No, I think like longest conversation we had was like...
Great job?
I think so.
No, it's true, huh?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a beef with you, you don't have a beef with me, but,
no, but
we never connect. Why?
I think it's people we know don't like each other.
Ah, which, like who?
I have no idea. That's for them to know, and okay. For us to find out.
Yeah, after the commercial. So can you just, stay there. Just, move the chair a little bit because you're tall. Yeah, like that. Yes, okay. Because I'm the producer, I'm the light guy, I'm the
everything.
You know, I do everything.
So a lot of pressure.
It's not easy, but at the end, the reward it's me, you know.
Yeah, so,
and if I'm grateful you accept in my small podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Because you have a great story, man.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Do you think?
it's a long story.
It's why you're here, because we have time, buddy.
Let's talk about
it. I hope you put a lot of money in the parking.
No, not at all.
No?
No, I'm going to get a ticket.
No. Okay, so, let's talk with why you need so much attention, you know what I mean, in your life. Why you need this drive, you know?
Because I had a younger sister that was better than me at everything.
Voila.
You know what I mean?
So yeah,
I was like, look at me. Look at me. I'm still here. That was my youth.
I have three sisters, so I understand well.
Yeah.
You did not have a bathroom problem.
No.
I have a bathroom because three sisters.
Oh.
I'm lucky. I piss. I can piss everywhere.
My sister was like a tomboy, so she was very quick in and out of the bathroom. She very seldom did the makeup. She was just in the bathroom, took a big shit, and then left. I think I don't know if she did that.
So let's talk about that because you're serious when you say that you need attention because. Of your sister?
Yeah, well, it's like everything I did, she started after me and was better than me at it. You know, I played baseball. I played AAA baseball in Canada for a while.
Is it for you or for your father?
At this point, I can't. I just like throwing and hitting shit.
Okay, so it was for you.
Yeah, I was very, like, my dad didn't give a shit. My dad
never
British.
Saw you, never went to saw
he,
you?
He did. But my dad's British. So British people don't know baseball that much. But my dad, after I started playing, he fell in love with the sport.
Okay.
Right, so that was really cool for me.
Yeah, cool and sad?
Well,
because he never... Me, I played soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
1 year. Never touched the ball.
No.
I think I miss... My father never comes to saw me because he doesn't care about me and the soccer, you know what I mean? I don't know if he didn't care about me or the soccer.
Might have been soccer.
Yeah.
I hate soccer.
Think about that. Why I choose the soccer, you know? I think it was cheap.
Yeah, well, all you need is a ball and cleats, right? It's like baseball. It's like you have a ball, you have a pair of cleats, and then you have like
the subscription.
Yeah,
well, I think it was a little bit
for baseball.
Higher.
I can't remember. I think my mom and dad paid $200 a year.
Because you know what? Do you believe in a reincarnation?
Reincarnation.
You know what I mean? Like
dead, born again as another person.
In my next life, I would love to be a baseball player.
It's a fun thing.
Professional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would have loved to.
Because you went so far. Why you stop?
I hurt myself.
Oh.
And I hurt, like, I had a bad attitude growing up. And, like, I did a lot of stupid things.
Okay.
I was good at sports, but I was also good at getting into trouble.
Why?
Attention.
Attention.
Right, yeah. So it's just like
From who?
Anybody who would.
Okay.
You know, but like, so I played sports for a while and then I ended up hurting myself and just not wanting to.
You remember? Where did you get
hurt? It was my elbow. And I was a pitcher. So I didn't want to have surgery. I was just like.
Mama, you could switch. You could change.
I threw very fast. Like, the fastest I ever got clocked was like 94, 95.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was the fastest I ever got radar.
What do you think about now? The guy throws so fast, man.
Well, it's all arm mechanics, right? A lot of people don't know much, like, when it comes to pitching. They're just like, oh, wow. But really, it's like body mechanics, right? You need your push off of your leg. You need to snap your hips. And you need to come over with your arm. It's a crazy, like, it's a crazy proposition.
How many tricks did you have? The fastball?
I threw four pitches.
No.
Yeah, I threw two different fastballs.
Okay.
A curveball and a changeup.
Wow.
That's what I threw.
So do you miss that?
Yeah.
Do you regret?
But that's what I got.
Regret some mistake?
Yeah, well, of course.
Like you did?
Everybody does. Everybody does.
Do you think if you will be focused at the time, you will be in the major?
Maybe. Well, you know, okay, you know baseball, right?
Yeah.
You know Joey Votto?
Yeah.
I played against Joey Votto.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Growing up. So I played against this kid.
Cincinnati.
I struck him out twice.
Cincinnati Reds. Wow. Yeah.
Struck him out twice. He hit one home run off me, but I struck him out twice. So
wow.
I think I don't know. I was a good ball player.
So you know you were at that.
I was in an elite level. I played baseball with a lot of guys who went professional, a lot of guys who went semi-pro. The year I moved to Montreal, I got an offer to get paid to play in Ontario. They had what's called the Intercounty Baseball League, which has like the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball team, the Brantford Red Sox, the Guelph Royals. And for 1 year, they had a team in Mississauga, where I was from. And I got offered to play on that team. But I was just like, I'm going to Montreal.
There you go.
No, it's just that I wanted to change. Okay. Like I said before, I was starting to find trouble a little too easily where I was from, so I wanted to change my setting a little bit.
Yeah. It's weird. The guy, the pitcher who died in the mysterious in the hotel this summer with the angel.
Yeah,
they found in his body so many shit, man.
So much drugs.
Why? Why do you? I know you would say I'm not a doctor or.
Yeah.
But why? Why? It's
I think it's
a double sport. You know what I mean?
It's
baseball. So why? It didn't fight. It didn't.
I think it's also like out of. If you look at the baseball season, look how long that season is.
Yeah.
Now you're away from your family. You're away from everything you know for that long. You must get bored, and some of that's recreational. We're gonna have a good time at it. Like,
but do you think it's stress to be a baseball player? Because
I think there is
nobody respect pitcher. Like in a sense,
unless you're an elite guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know what I mean. Because now they beat. Now I think we have the last two seasons, they beat the record of home run. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
But at the same time, they beat the record of strikeout.
Yeah.
Well, but nobody cares.
If you look at it, it's because nobody gives a shit about a strikeout. Right?
Yes.
Like a home run is, oh, look at that. Like it's that big excitement moment. A strikeout happens very frequently. Yeah. Pitchers, I think, because they don't play as frequently as an everyday guy, you know, like look at like guys like Roy Halladay, who used to go and they pitch 25, 26 starts in a season.
Yeah.
That's a drop in the bucket compared to the 100 plus games that happen.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think they get the same level of respect because they don't have that same burden, that same workload.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that they should be respected because their craft is different. Just like, you know, it's like improv and stand-up. They're playing the same game. They're just looking at it a different way.
You know,
like, that's what I loved when I played baseball. That's why I loved pitching. It was chess. I'm going to try to get in your head as a batter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to make you guess. And you're going to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that was the best part was that one-on-one.
And took me a lot of time to understand why the pitcher threw the ball off the player.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it's because you don't respect the what is the marbre,
the plate, the strike zone.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and they're getting real close.
The guy, he said, you want to go there? So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to scare you. You know what I mean? So how a guy focused all his life in baseball... arrive in comedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you funny when you're young?
Yeah. Well, like baseball is a sport that has a lot of banter. You know what banter means?
No.
Banter is like back and forth. I'm busting your balls. You're busting my balls.
Yeah, because you chill on the bench.
Exactly. You're chirping a lot.
You don't watch the game.
Exactly. Exactly right.
You put some bubble gum on the hand.
Yeah, I got very good at bouncing a baseball up that way. And like, you also got good at talking shit at people. So I was like, oh, I was doing it already my whole life. Like, well, why can't we do it now?
Yeah.
And it's funny, when I first started stand-up, I used to get incredibly nervous. I'd get on stage and I feel like I was going to vomit on myself.
Okay, so let's go there. You never had this feeling when you go to the player...
Pitching?
Throw the ball?
No, because I did it for so long. Like, I've been playing baseball since I was 5. You know, like, that's just part of who I was. Like, going and standing on a pitcher's mound and looking 60 feet, 6 inches... down at a batter.
Yeah, and nobody watch you directly too.
Yeah, well, sometimes they do. Like,
yeah, but you know what I mean? The stress.
Exactly. You're not meant, like, all I have to do, my job as a pitcher is to make sure I throw the ball where the back catcher tells me, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my job. Like, I don't care if he hits a home run off me. If he hit a home run off me, it's because my back catcher called a shitty pitch. Or I missed my pitch. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, there's a certain chemistry that's in between a battery, which is a pitcher and a catcher, that not a lot of people think of. The pitcher's only the arm. The catcher's the mind and everything else. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, you're going to throw this guy 3 fastballs this at bat. but this one's going to be low and away, this one's going to be high and tight, and then this one's just going
to
be low.
So it's why the catcher always go talk to the guy.
Yeah, the catchers are, I think, the brains of the operation, and the pitchers are the force. You know what I mean?
They're
the thing pushing it forward, and the catcher's the one who's really kind of... They use that term field general. Do you know what a field general...
Yeah.
They control the whole game.
Yeah.
That's that guy, the back catcher. Nothing happens without that guy. You know, a pitcher can say, no, I'm not going to throw that pitch there. No, I'm not going to do that. But ultimately, it's the catcher. Or sometimes, I don't know if you see the catcher look to the bench.
Yeah.
That means their coach is giving them the pitch to throw.
Exactly.
Which is even like...
So, you know how it's work?
Every team has its own one.
I know, but in general, the first is nothing.
Exactly. Like, my team that I used to play on, this wouldn't mean anything. This wouldn't mean anything. But the fourth thing he did would be the start of the sequence.
Okay.
And then after that, you'd watch, because the very next signal he did would be what he actually wanted you to do. And then he would do eight other things. And if he did that, he means nothing. Nothing matters.
So nothing, fastball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this would be like this. I'm telling you what's next, now fastball. You know what I mean? This is the indicator. It's called the
inside.
Exactly. And it's amazing to see, like, the amount of thought that goes into it that a lot of people don't really think about. They're just like, oh, a guy throws a ball.
No, because they say it's boring. It's always, everybody says it's boring. It's not boring.
No, it's a thinking sport, and it's an explosive sport. All of the action happens in such fast bursts. You know, it's like the hit, run, catch the ball, throw the ball. Everything is such explosive action. There's no, like, in soccer, jogging around. You know, it's everything is very intense.
And the intense, it's the 162 game.
Yeah, it's
the
crazy.
People don't realize that. So when did you start comedy?
I started comedy late. I started comedy at 30.
So it's why you said, you think it's because when you start comedy young, you're naive.
Yeah.
You don't know what you do. You're cocky, you know what I mean?
That's it.
But now, at 30 years old, you have a lot of guts.
Well, it's...
Why you did that? What's happening?
I wanted to do it my whole life. Like, I've always wanted to entertain.
Okay.
I went to film school after high school. Not a lot of people know that. Where I went to film school, I wrote a lot of short films and stuff like that. And I still do write a lot, and I still do create a lot of film work. But not a lot of people really know it, because I don't really tell them anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun to do. I just want to entertain people. That's my goal. Is, like, we live in a shitty place. You know, like, this time is very shitty. People are fighting each other for every reason you can think of.
Oh, you mean in the social media?
And everywhere.
Not in life.
No, everywhere. Like, if you think about social media kind of bleeds into real life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People aren't as friendly with each other as they used to be.
Yeah.
Like, people won't talk to people anymore because of what they said on social media, which is insane.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you delete somebody on Facebook,
it's like
the end of the world.
Yeah, it's stupid.
You know what I mean?
I'm one of those people. I only have Facebook because I do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other...
Yeah, me too.
You know,
I got an Instagram and I said, it's not for me, man. I'm not a young girl. I have nothing to show you.
Well, I just like taking pictures of weed and stuff.
Whoa.
So I put them all on my Instagram account, because that's what I do during the day now, as I do a lot of stuff for, like, a medical cannabis company. So I take videos of clients and different products and stuff like that, and it's fun.
Oh, man, but why you say it's the shitty time?
Well, if you think about it, like, think about how divided we are in terms of policy as people. You know, like, with the election coming up, you can really see more. Social media gives you an insight into what's going on in here with people, right?
Okay,
and you're seeing how polarized people are becoming, and it's just like, oh, fuck you, you're ruining this world. It's like, fuck you, go back to your country. It's like, yo, everybody, just relax a little
bit. Yeah, but this is on social media. In life, they will never say that.
No, because everybody is...
Exactly.
You know, but...
I mean, you know my point?
But the problem is, I know that that person said that on social media, so the next time I see them, I'm like this. What's the problem there? You got a problem?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
No.
You know, and that...
You're right. Now people, life, it's not life anymore.
No.
It's social media.
Yeah, that's like your public... Because that's what people are going to always have. You're going to be dead and in the ground. But Sebastian Morgo's Facebook page will still be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. Like, I just seen... Like, I had a few friends who passed away. Their Facebook page is still there. And I still get notifications about, like, oh, it's their birthday coming up. And it's like, no, it's not. They've been dead for 5 years.
Fuck.
It's fucked up. Like, Facebook sometimes can be like a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But I always knew that. I'm lucky. I never put some shit.
Yeah.
Or said some stupid shit.
I've said a couple stupid things, but never, like, offensive things.
Yeah. I don't think if I have to say something I have to do it on social media. I'm gonna wait in front of the person.
Yeah, I do that.
I was LV. I was raised like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're more intense, huh?
I'm like, okay, I get that a lot. Like, I grew up, like, I'm 35 now.
So 5 years in comedy?
5 years.
Wow, it's fun. I thought you were... I thought it was 10 years. Why?
No, it's because I started doing photography first. That's okay. How I met you. It was when I was doing photography for like Joanne Britton way back in the day.
Oh.
Like, and that was like 7 years ago or 8 years ago.
Okay, so I started in 2012.
Yeah, exactly. So I was around comedy, but I was only taking pictures.
Wow.
And then a lot of my friends who were comedians started to say, you ever want to try this? Let me know and I'll put you on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I said, no, no.
But
and then I had a friend actually say, hey, you're on Tuesday.
Oh, okay, so because of a friend who forced you to go there, then you start comedy. So, but I want to know, because it's not a coincidence if he forced you to go there. So something arrived, you know. Did you watch a lot of comedy? Did you go see a lot of comedy?
Everything I created was comedy content.
Ah.
It's like when I was in film school, all of my projects were comedy focused.
Okay,
I did a lot of stoner comedy stuff. But I always wrote with the intention of making you laugh because of how shitty I perceived people's worlds right now. You know, it's like people are arguing over smog. I called my own grandmother like a racist because she said something stupid. And I was like this, you're a fucking racist. And she was like this, what did you say to me? And I was like, you're a fucking racist. And then like I had to walk it back a little bit once I realized, shit, this is an 83-year-old woman that didn't meet a black person until she was 35. You know, so I was just like, okay, you're just ignorant. So like, that's not something I want to say to my grandmother. I like, but you have to, you kind of have to confront things, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's a lovely lady, but she has some stupid backwards
views. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? You're right.
So I just want to create content for people to kind of heal divide, try to make people laugh wherever I could, because it doesn't matter what your views are, I find a lot of us laugh at a lot of the same stuff.
It's so just, you're always choked. Do you have? Did you have a lot of opportunity? Where you always said you choke because you're always an open mic because you always took pictures.
I had a fucking bunch. The first time I wanted to get on stage, I was 14, and I had somebody who was willing to take me, and then I chickened out. I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And then like I was
did you choke like what? Like 5 minutes before?
No, like a day before.
Okay,
a day before. And then back, I was in film school. And I was going to school with a buddy, and we were writing all the time, and we're like, oh, this is funny as hell. And then Much Music had a TV show that helped you live your dream. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he got picked.
Wow.
And they said, okay, we'll help you live your dream. What do you want to do? And he said, stand-up comedy. So they got him on Yuck Yuck's downtown Toronto on Saturday night, and he ate a bag of dicks. It was the worst bomb ever.
Okay, and eat a bag of dicks.
A bag of dicks.
Not of chips.
No, dicks.
Of dicks.
Yeah. He did so bad. You know, like...
Oh, no.
Like, honestly, I watched him die inside. And I died with him. And I was like, no. And it scared me away for a while again.
Yeah, but he never said, I'm a comedian. He said, I would love to be a comedian.
That's it. Like...
So why you...
I thought... He Why became. Did he? It's funny because he actually became like an improv guy, and he's very popular in Toronto for improv now. So it's funny to see the path we both took. Is like I got really heavy into comedy, like stand up, and then he just jumped in and just started doing really well at improv, because I'm more comfortable again being a pitcher. I'm more comfortable with the solo aspects of things.
Me too.
It's like let me be alone and do this,
yeah,
and then let me see what I love that, and I like I have two very deep loves in art, film and stand-up, and I love them for two completely different reasons. Like, film is the most collaborative art form. Like, there's people who do picture, sound, lighting, all of these different people come together to make this so great, right?
I'm alone.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you have a whole crew here, but it's in this device now.
Exactly.
But, like, this whole big organism comes together to turn out a piece of art that you don't hear feedback on until that goes to the theater.
Yeah.
With us, We're by ourselves. We write something. We say something. We get our feedback, you know?
Right away.
Exactly. And that's what I love
about
it.
Not the day after, though.
No, no. It's immediate. Right away on stage. And, like, you know if they love you or they hate you.
So what year it is when the Much Music...
That was, like, 2004.
Okay, so 2004.
Yeah, 2004. 2005.
To 2014.
I moved to here in 2008. I moved to Montreal.
From Mississauga.
Yeah, exactly.
I live in Mississauga. So, I live in Toronto, but I was always there because they have the Yuck Yuck there.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
It's gone. No, I know, it's done. I know.
That's where I first saw stand-up comedy.
Oh, wow.
I snuck in underage all the time. I bribed the guy, the door guy, with joints. And we used to show up with a joint, and he'd let us in the back door. Like, we used to bring him like 5 or 6 joints and be like, can we get in?
So you always go see comedy.
I love comedy. Comedy is the best thing. I remember the most powerful thing I ever saw was, like, my family, we didn't grow up with a lot of stuff, but we always seemed to have some stuff, you know? And it's because of how my dad was with people. My dad was a British man, and people just loved him. And, like, they still do. But, like, he'd be around, and they'd be laughing the whole time, and then the next thing you know, me and my family are in Florida because this guy wanted to go deep-sea fishing with my dad.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, he liked my dad that much that he's like, all right, you're coming with us. I'm going to pay for your whole family to come on vacation.
Wow.
So they went deep sea fishing, and like me and my mom, the guy's wife and his kids and stuff, we just hung out on the beach. Like, it was, we did that like 4 years in a row. It was insane. Just because my dad made this guy laugh all the time. And I saw how powerful a laugh was. Wow. You know, it's like, you can get by, literally, if you can make people laugh, you can do shit that you would never be able to do otherwise.
See, it's so true, huh? It's so true. Like, it's a medicine.
Yeah, it is. It very much is.
I'm always fascinating when I do stand up and 100 people laughing like that, you know, and clap and tap, you know. It's a, what, you know, it's like a drug. It's like a symbiose.
Yeah, it's
something happened. You know what I mean?
Your feet.
And it's just a guy on stage with a mic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So always you want to do that. You move here in 2008, mm-hmm. and what do you start to do? Picture.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw you at the Nest at the time.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff at the Nest, and I did, pretty much anywhere they would have me.
Because Joanne worked there at the time.
She did, and then she left to work with the Yuck Yucks brand, and that's where I.
We left together.
Yeah.
And they we get banned.
That's where I met you that first time. And it was to photograph this is like to see my photography collection now of who I photographed. It's like a really cool thing to look into and be like, wow, I have pictures of like, well, that was Dave Foley, I think, was the first weekend at that Yuck Yucks at the Rialto.
Yes, Dave Foley.
I had Dave Foley pictures from that. I have Mike Wilmot pictures. I've got Mike McDonald pictures. Wow. Like, and you have these pictures, and they're no longer, like, well, they are, but Mike McDonald's no longer with us, but I have those photos that are going to be forever.
No, I mean, it's why I do a podcast, you know what I mean? Because someday you're going to be a superstar.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then we're going to rewatch you, as you know, 5 years ago, you know what I mean?
Exhausted me with a 2-year-old daughter at home.
This is amazing. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
How you mix family and comedy. Mm. So, okay, so 2008 to 2000 what? You did a picture.
Still do them.
You know what I mean?
Just for comedy, just like, I actually don't photograph comedians anymore.
No.
I don't. I used to, but like...
What's happened?
You know, I'd rather be on the show.
What is...
I'd rather be on the show than photographing the show.
So,
and then comedians, they don't pay me enough. You know, I get paid a lot more to take pictures than a lot of comedians can afford. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. We are poor about this.
I know we are. Like,
you're on the other side. You understand?
Yeah, I'm just as poor. Like, now I got a kid, and that makes me even more poor.
All right. Hey. The year here.
Here.
What did you order, buddy?
I got a nice little cappuccino right here.
Whoa, it's a chamomile.
You're a chamomile.
I can't drink coffee anymore. My belly is going to explode.
Why is it going to explode?
Thank you so much, man.
It smells wonderful. Thank you so much.
This is Tony, the owner.
Tony.
Thank you, buddy. I love you, man.
I love you.
This
too.
Is the reason why I'm happy because I have the opportunity to do my podcast here, you know?
It's awesome.
The best restaurant in Montreal. Did you eat here?
I've had it once. I've had it once when I did the show here. But I haven't done a show here.
Thanks, buddy.
because
they have a great show here, you know?
Like, I haven't done it in a while, man.
You never did?
I gotta get on that show again, Sid.
Yeah, shout out to Sid and Ali.
Yeah.
You should book this guy, Bob.
That's right.
So, every Friday. Yeah, it's amazing, yeah. So, look at that. Look, the herbs that's inside. So,
I look at different kind of herbs all day.
Oh, yeah? You love smoking weed?
Yes.
Do you enjoy it's legal now? Do you feel the difference?
Not so much, because I really didn't care too much for the laws anyway before. So I was doing a lot of the things anyway that were illegal, you know?
But you know what? Me, I did a video about that.
Yep.
I went to the...
I remember, I saw the video, I watched it.
Man, best day of my life.
I got somewhere else that I'll take you, that'll make you never want to go back to that awful, awful place.
Why?
Because it's awful.
Okay, but let me tell you my perception
Yes, yes.
Because I went there, I bought weed,
yep,
and I tapped with my credit card.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Man, no, you know, it's not, no, it's more than crazy. It's like in the 50s when I start to buy legal alcohol.
That's it, yeah.
No, you know when we are there.
Yeah,
almost.
And almost, we're so close.
But no, because it's going to take time. Yeah. If you want the regular people to understand, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Me, I talk about the people who understand, like, weed, it's not cocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's and like, cocaine, yeah, exactly. And at the same time, cocaine is good if you can use it properly. But we are not there for that. We start, you know what I mean? Because yeah, it's medicinal, you know?
Yeah.
Some people, you know...
Well, they say that THC, marijuana, cannabis, sorry, has two different uses, two different types of use.
Okay.
There is medicinal.
Yes.
And then there's therapeutic.
What? Therapeutic.
Yeah. Recreational. That's nothing. That's every use is so therapeutic.
Doritos and
no, football. Therapeutic. You're doing something for you. You know, you'd smoke the joint and it's forcing you to take that time and focus on something you truly enjoy.
Yeah.
Junk food and football. You know, like there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't do that every day. You know, moderation, maybe.
It's like drinking a Coke.
Yeah. Yeah, some it's people go too Coke. Much. It's awful.
Trump drink 12 Coke a day.
That's crazy. Have you seen what happens if you pour Coke into a sink and shit? Yeah. It'll eat all that stuff out.
Well, if you put your penny,
yeah,
it's beautiful. Yeah, exactly. You know? But listen, you know why I love to buy weed legally?
Yep.
It's because they said the number of the TH, the CBD, and me, I never smoke weed. I smoke weed in the past, but it was impossible for me because I always paranoid. And I thought it was the weed. And you know what I realized?
The strain.
Exactly. Yep. So now when I smoke 9% of TH and CBD in the same thing. Yep. You know what? I don't paranoid. I don't have dark ideas. You know what I mean? Yep. I don't, I feel great. I relax, you know. I take a hot bath, and I said, "Woo!" You know, and it's legal.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what? I smoke a joint, and I go outside. I never did that. You know why? Because I paranoid so much about what people gonna think about if they know I'm high.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. First.
Yeah.
And it's legal.
Yeah.
So you know what? For me, like the Joker, the movie is gonna go out.
Yeah. This weekend.
I want to see that. Do you want to see that?
Look at this.
But, I never loved the Joker in the movie in general, because he was misrepresented. And now we're gonna know the real story, because the guy was a good guy like us.
He had a bad day.
No, he was tired to not have the respect. Everybody shit on him, and you know what? The comic said, "Fuck you."
Yeah,
and
that's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
And he started to, you know, I don't say it's good, but
no, yeah,
but
that's it.
It's so painful. You know what I mean? It's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen the movie Falling Down?
I think
yes. With Michael Douglas, it came out in the.
French, so what is the story?
It's a guy who's kind of like the Joker. He has like a bad day. And just keep
it's a classic. He's in his car.
Yeah, and then he has a suitcase.
He leaves his car there.
Yeah,
he has a sandwich and an apple. Because the lady said, no, no breakfast. It's after 10:30.
Exactly.
It's like 10:31.
And like, there's a scene in that movie at the very end. He's standing on the pier with the gun and the briefcase.
That's
the
gun.
And he's like this. I'm the bad guy? Like, he didn't know because
he was just
And I think that's pretty much like what we're getting from this telling of the Joker story.
Yeah.
Is that very similar, like,
yeah.
No, he doesn't view himself as a bad guy. He's like, I hate
nobody
this. I found myself.
Nobody understands our job. Nobody,
unless they do.
Until they try.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a corporate standing ovation 1 hour last week, okay?
Right.
A lady arrived after the show, and she insists, I have a joke. I have a joke. I said, I don't want your joke. Because I know where she's going. Yeah. It's going to be a Reader's Digest joke. and she, it was a Reader's Digest.
Yeah,
I said, because I don't know if you just understand what you said to me. Mm. You give me a real joke in life, look.
Yeah.
You think why do you think I find my joke? You see, I wrote my joke.
Yeah.
I suffer.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you give me a shitty joke of 1973 Reader's Digest, you insult me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It makes me want to write a joke about you trying to give me this shitty joke.
Do you have a joke about your life you live and I could use it? And she said, no. And I said, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't. And another time I did a show, I squeezed Anne after the show, give my card, and the lady said, you're amazing. I said, thank you. What is your what do you do in life?
Mm.
I said, I just did.
Yeah.
I said, yes, but you have a day job? I said, no, I see.
Yeah, you just paid me.
How I can have a day job when I kill 1 hour?
Yeah.
How do you think I found my 1 hour, see?
Yeah.
Between a dentist, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's tough, man.
So you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So it's why I do a podcast.
Mm.
I want to explain to the people who don't know comedy or are interested about comedy or want to find answer when you start comedy, when you want to lose, I think they want to give up. Don't give up. Watch my podcast
because everybody
have the same problem. You know what I mean? The problem number one in comedy, it's not, don't give up.
No, that's it. It's,
no matter what's going to happen in your life, you're going to succeed if you don't give up.
Exactly.
You
know it's a perseverance thing.
Yes.
Like, you want to work through things. One of the funniest but also saddest things I ever saw at the Comedy Works was this guy. It was his first time doing stand-up comedy. And he goes on stage. You remember those Reader's Digest jokes you were talking about?
Yeah.
He tells about 5 of those in a row.
5 in a row?
Yeah. And nobody reacts at all. And then he got really... And then he just ran off the stage and left.
Do you know his name?
No. And then, then he came back into the room because he forgot that his girlfriend was sitting in the front row. And then made her leave. Come on, let's go! And it was so hilarious to me, but also so very sad.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gave up. I don't think he did give up, actually. I think he might have been around for a little bit more, but he did stick around.
But you know what? I would say to him, if I was there after the show, I would say, next time you go on stage, explain what you did. Because this is funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was hilarious. That's it. And I think that's one of the things, I guess, that was good about starting later. Starting at the age of 30.
It's good enough.
Well, you have life experience to talk about.
Yeah, but the
I've started 10 years later than everybody else.
Yeah, but your ego is strong.
Yeah, yeah, I got a big one.
It's tough for you when you bum more than a kid.
Well, for me, it's like, this is why I like weed so much. Is like, cannabis has pretty much destroyed most of my ego. I'm high, I'm medicated a lot. And I find that it helps because I'm very...
What do you mean you medicate a lot?
Because I use cannabis medicinally.
Okay, for anxiety?
My lungs and like...
Yeah.
Like even now, like doing that. Sorry, Marilyn. So sorry, Marilyn. My God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Your hair is okay. Your scarf is great. No, but yeah, I messed up my arms. And now it's... If I get up out of bed and push up the wrong way, like my whole side will start to hurt. You know?
This is the baseball?
This is my baseball arm, and this is what did it. And so I'll use cannabis almost immediately after I get up.
Like, wow, you're intense, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like...
You still enjoy it?
Yeah.
Because you the buzz is not there anymore.
No, very much not.
You know what I mean?
No.
Now if you're not on weed...
I feel buzzed. If I'm not on weed.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why I consume as much as I do, because I don't like feeling...
So you smoke like what? Like a 3.5 in 2 days or a day?
I smoke a 3.5 in half a day.
Okay, so you smoke 7 grams a day?
Roughly.
About like you're rich?
No, I just get a lot of free stuff.
Okay.
Like people really enjoy my company.
So let's go there, because Tony arrived. You said... Don't buy weed.
Yeah.
So why you say that?
I don't like certain things that have been done with this current legalization system and what they do with the product at the SDPC. I mean,
it's the new mafia, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But what they've done, there's been an uptick, I don't know if you've noticed in the media, an uptick in illnesses related to cannabis and stuff since it's become legalized. And I think it's because of the growing that's been doing. If you look at the people who have the most extensive knowledge in growing, they've been locked out of the industry because they have criminal records. They got caught, they got arrested, they're not allowed to work in the new government framework. And these guys have been doing it forever. Like
I thought it was the reverse. I thought they hire this kind of guy because they are the master.
Yeah, if one in 150.
Okay.
One in 150.
So you have to be the bad guy, but clean.
Yeah, but like, exactly. You've never been caught. You know what I mean? But like, what I don't like...
So you think the weed they sell is not good?
Well, certain things about it also bother me. They use different sprays and stuff on the cannabis instead of... Like, did you hear about Redican getting found with bugs and shit all in their weed? There's a bunch of like...
No.
Was it or Organigram? It was either Redican or Organigram.
My big problem at the same time, I don't... Yeah. It's when you buy a 3.5, it's in a big plastic.
In a box, too.
Like, in a box plastic. Yeah. Like where's the recyclage? Why you use plastic? Why you don't put that in a small bag?
Now you got to do like bulk barn. If you have a mason jar, you bring the mason and just fucking scoop it in. And then you pay by the way. That's what I would do.
No, but you know what? Yeah, you're right. Because it's the way they use so many plastic and paper when they can... Put in a plastic paper, the plastic paper can be biodegradable. You know what I mean?
And it's not even, like that's not even the worst part. Okay.
What is the worst part? Okay. Man? So you
here saying, we go. Here we go. I'm gonna break it down. Why the business of cannabis is failing in Canada? You're hearing it here first, folks.
They start to make money, by the way. Right?
Yeah, they started. No, you know how you lose $10 million selling weed? I don't know. I don't fucking know. How the fuck do you do that, you idiot? But like, hey, this is the problem. This is the exact problem. They transitioned into retail, which is a huge issue. So right away they're like, okay, my expenses are going to be huge because now I've got to open 150 stores. Now they all have to be staffed, so we're paying all of this overhead with the operational cost of having a store, all of these staff members, all of these warehouse members, when they could have just approved the people who are currently operating when the switch was flipped and just allowed them to keep doing what they were doing and just been like, I'm just going to tax you. They could have made so much money, but the government was like,
why they do that?
Because they're idiots. You
think it's very easy?
I think it was twofold.
Yeah, one, maybe it's false blanchage.
I think they're trying.
You know, what is blanchage? You know, when they wash the money, though.
Oh yeah, like exactly.
What is?
Washing them, laundering the money.
Because
exactly. But what I think it was also is because the way that they legalized it also allowed them to keep budgets in place for police departments. For going after and arresting illegal grow operators, illegal dealers, and so police, who are a very powerful lobby group in politics, are now happy because their budgets are still okay. They didn't have to cut any money anywhere. They're still like, we can go after those damn reefers. And it's just like, yo, get the fuck out of here. Go do a real job, you know? Like.
And another thing, a lot of people scared me with that. He said, you can't go in the States anymore. I said, why? He said, because you pay with your credit card. I said, I said, really?
You're more likely to not be allowed in the States because you're a popular comedian in Canada. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
Because they're like this. Are you just going to sightsee?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure you are, buddy. Yeah. And you're like this. What? Yeah. I love baseball. I want to go watch a couple games. They're like, you got any shows? Let me just YouTube you.
Yeah.
And then they look you up and they're like, oh, you've got 4 shows.
Yeah.
Denied.
Yeah.
Like Canada.
I got a tour in LA.
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah?
The producer who hired me. Mm-hmm. He insists to put my picture. I said, don't put my picture, tabarnak.
Yeah,
he said, no, nobody cares. I said, no. I will not go make show if you do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. Like, if you look at, like, how
and it's stupid. Easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How hard it is for Canadians to go to the U.S. to perform, but how easy it is for Americans to come up here.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I spent so much money, man, to get my visa and my green card.
Yeah,
realize that, fuck them.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay here. Who cares?
It's the best... Honestly,
you know?
It's the best. I'm good friends with K. Trevor Wilson. You know K. Trevor? He does Letterkenny, the TV show.
Oh, yeah,
show.
He did. He did. He won the Rose Battle last summer, man.
And he also does stand-up comedy.
Shout out.
And buddy. And he also does all of this, like, really great stuff. How much work went into getting him to be able to perform in the States is insane. But
the problem is not the state. The problem is the Canada.
I think it's
No, because show me Comedian on television. Yeah. Nobody watch Canadian television.
Yeah,
and really they still in the process of the '80s. You know, yeah. Like so many good concepts coming in. So it's why they go.
Yeah.
Stay here. Find a budget, you know, but now because of internet, nobody cares anymore too about the television.
The big thing, the big thing about like with TV and that whole like tar drain, right? It's a very old problem. That's because the United States is our next door neighbor, and they have the biggest media machine on the planet. You know what I mean? And like when you look at their talent, there's a lot of Canadians behind that.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean.
There's a lot of Canadians that work
in the past too.
Dan Aykroyd, John Candy. Yeah. You had all of these guys, and today you have like the Seth Rogans, the Jay Baruchels, and like all of these people are there. And it's crazy that we're not getting supported in Canada enough to have the same kind of impact in our own country. But it's the same in sport.
We don't have star system in Canada. Yeah. I know why. I went there and we could talk about that for...
Canada does, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we are like that together.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
You know what I mean?
It's very impressive to see. But it's like it's a recurring problem in Canadian entertainment period. It includes sport in that, too. If you look at the CFL, the Canadian Football League, I knew players in the CFL that had another job because they did not make any money. Like one guy was a butcher. He was a butcher and a linebacker. And it's like, that's a pretty cool mix though, right? That butcher is going to take some meat off you. But like the fact that you had to do that in order to finance being able to take the time off to play football is insane.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the, I guess, the drawback of being so close to the States is we just allow their media up to just to flow and wash over us because we can't compete.
I think the thing's going to change anyway.
I hope so.
Because you shit on media social and you're right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know all the big producer who abuse of people? they're going to be gone soon.
Yep, yep.
Okay? Now, if you go on YouTube, every big state television station are on YouTube.
Yeah,
why the Tonight Show is on YouTube?
Yeah.
You know, because they know nobody watch on television.
Yeah,
so exactly. They make so many million view on YouTube. It's why Will Smith have a YouTube channel. I'm like, think about that.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
Well, it's crazy. If you think about like early internet sites that we went on, right? Think about all of the early internet sites that you went on. YouTube's been around for a long time.
2006.
Long time.
Yeah.
MySpace isn't around anymore.
No.
Like LimeWire and Kazaa, all these internet things that we used to use all the time aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
YouTube is.
Yeah.
And YouTube has become synonymous. It's like Googling. It's like, I got to Google this.
Google by YouTube.
Yeah, I got to YouTube this over here. We're starting to use it in daily life. YouTube is now becoming one of those entities that are so big. It's crazy to see how big this thing, this nothing thing is. It's like, it didn't physically exist outside of servers for the longest time.
Yeah.
And now it's so big that it's able to produce television shows.
Yeah.
Like Cobra Kai.
Samson Cooperman.
Oh, really?
Cooperman, because he said he did karate, you know.
Yeah, sweep the leg, baby.
And he said he was bullying. He said, I was not bullying, but every time he talked about something, he bullying somebody. I said, you're the guy in Karate Kid.
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
He said, I don't understand. And I explained him, like, the perception of now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Danny LaRusso was the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, I liked it.
It's amazing, but you know what I mean? So I watched that religiously, man.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Did you see Karate Kid
when you were young? Absolutely, absolutely.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah, Ralph Macchio, Mr. Miyagi, like all of those, man. Like it was a big thing.
Just before I forgot.
Yeah.
So why you said? Let's finish why you said it's more.
Okay, we're getting all sidetracked. I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I always keep everything.
Yeah, I do.
You don't need to think about that.
Okay, cool.
But at the same time, I always put myself, if I was listening, I would say, hey, I want to know more about why you said that, you know?
Okay,
you said, don't buy weed legally.
So they also, like, stuff is picked and packaged way longer apart than it should be, necessarily, as well as being sprayed and then hit with radiation. They actually irradiate the cannabis.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want that shit.
Me too.
You buy a bunch of it. I don't buy
it. My name is Steve-O.
Right?
You think they do something with that?
I have no idea, but this is what I have, because I'm a medical cannabis
user. You scare me, man. They shut.
They use radiation. They
why?
To kill any kind of microbes or whatever that are on it.
So after that, they kill us. Wow.
I don't want that shit in my body.
But is it approved or is it just
Well, it's approved by the government regulations of what's legal.
Okay.
I have medicinal cannabis, which has been grown for medicinal purposes, which is 100% organic cannabis.
So where do you find this?
Which is just very bad.
In a hospital?
I was prescribed cannabis by a doctor.
But it's not the same place?
It's not the same place.
Really?
Yeah, I go to a place that's called the ACCMQ.
Really? It's not the same place?
No, so this ACCMQ provides me with all my...
So
my
why are you sure they don't do the same thing?
Because I know, I've met the person, I've seen the operation.
Is it the same taste? Do you feel
better.
Something different?
It's okay. Better. It tastes better.
How much THC do you
smoke? It ranges. Like, I sometimes like more heavy CBD strains. Sometimes I like heavy indica.
Yeah. But in general, like today?
The average cannabis that I consume is a hybrid, like a 70-30 indica. 70, the THC percentage is about 22%.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's, but I need that.
You smoke 22 now?
Well,
22
about 45 minutes ago.
No, I know, but in general?
Yeah.
22?
Like I have,
and how much CBD?
CBD is very low on this one. On this one, it's like 3%.
What is that?
It's my dube tube. That's what I carry my cannabis around in.
Oh, this is
smell proof. No smell.
This is your next one.
Yeah, so that's for after we're finished here.
Wow.
So that I can sit and not.
Mentos.
The fresh maker. Yeah. But yeah, so like.
Hey, 22. If I smoke that the first, I will not move. I will be like that and I will just say, I want doggy dogs.
Yeah, it's tough. It's honestly, it's why I'm fat. Like I don't really eat much during the day because I'm busy. You know, it's after a show. I'll get home, and then I just smash food.
Yes.
And then I fall asleep, and then I wake up the next day feeling like trash.
Yeah. We restart after.
And then exactly, do the whole thing.
Okay, so for the people that are tired, we talk about it.
We talked about so much stuff.
No, it's very interesting. We could do a video about weed. It's
we
fun.
We really could.
Because now it's legal, you know. Yeah. So it's fun to talk about that.
You let me know if you ever want to do a weed investigation. I will help you consume.
Okay, let's investigate the reason why you're here.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago, a guy forced you. He said,
"The girl."
It's a girl forced you to go at the Nest or the Works?
Shaika.
Yeah,
okay. There's a first spot with Shaika.
Okay, so you went. So how did you respond when she said, "I book you there"?
I was very, 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 very sick.
Sick? Like
I just, it felt like I ate a stone. And she's like, "You're signed up on Tuesday." And it went, "Bloop," and it just dropped right into my stomach. I was like, "Oh."
Wow.
And then I spent a day and a half, just wandering around my apartment, staring at walls, just being like, "Nobody wants to hear you, dummy. Nobody wants to hear you talk."
You're so hard with yourself.
Yeah, I'm very hard with myself. I'm British. British people are hard on themselves. Because we were brought up to be hard on ourselves. And so when I finally did it, the reason I was able to get into that headspace was, I'm performing at Shaker. What are there, 20 people in there, tops? I pitched in front of 1,000. I should be able to do this. So then... I used that mentality. I went in and I told my first joke.
But it was jump back?
No, Shaker had about, that day, about 13 people were paying attention.
Okay.
So a jam packed Shaker. But like.
Okay, no. So you arrived there.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my favorite part of my podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take time. We're going to dissect the day.
Yeah.
So you wake up. Did you sleep well?
No.
So did you eat?
No.
Did you practice your number?
Yeah.
You know what? You remember what you want to talk?
Remember when I got on stage, I forgot.
Okay, so let's go there.
Yeah.
So you arrive at you never went there before.
I've been there twice.
Okay, so you know how it's work. So you saw comedy there.
Yeah.
So it's not so much stress in your head about where it is because just go on stage, right?
Yeah, but it's a little bit about because it's not a comedy club.
Yes.
You know, so it's a bit like people don't necessarily go there being like this. I'm gonna let
No, exactly.
It's a cafe show, and sometimes people are like this. There's comedy?
Yeah, it was 5 years ago. Yeah. Now it's a notoriety.
Now everybody knows it. Yeah, this is back when it was Ladies and Gentlemen. I loved that show so much. And I remember the feeling of being next.
Okay, so no. So we are on, you're there.
Yeah, I'm there.
You know where you are in the lineup?
Second,
okay. So this is...
Yeah, you want to be there
or you want to be late?
No, I don't want to be anywhere. I wanted to be off the lineup. Honestly,
who hosts?
It was Daniel and Chris. They hosted together. Always.
Oh, yeah, remember. Okay.
Always.
Chris...
Sandiford.
Shout out to Manny. I think he moved to Toronto.
He did. He's acting and everything now. He's Mr. Actor Man. He's killing it.
Oh yeah, so you arrive, you he present you, when he present you, how did you, when you walked from the of the mic, do you remember?
Yeah, 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 I almost tripped. Yeah, I almost tripped.
Did because you take the mic? Did you take the mic?
Yeah.
Or you keep the mic?
I took the mic out because before it started, Joey Elias had offered me to sit in on his comedy class for nothing.
The same night?
No, no, earlier, like 3 weeks to a month earlier, just to sit in.
Why?
Just to see if, hey, if you want to like, if you want to do comedy,
why?
Come take a look. He knew me through photography. We got along.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I did, okay.
So I went to watch one. I went to watch one class and I was like, nah.
Why?
Didn't like it. Because I didn't like it.
You don't, because you're a TDH. You like deficit of attention.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to sit there.
I don't like
study. You know what I mean?
I don't exactly.
Is it my point?
Yeah. I don't like school, and it made exactly feel like school.
Yeah. And yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like he was a good teacher.
Yeah. It
like,
was free.
He was a good teacher.
It was free, man.
But I just don't like being taught. No. There's just something.
No, it's true.
There's something about
you're that. You're an autodidact.
Yeah. No.
You but, like
yeah.
to learn by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's something about being in that setting that just makes me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, you're being judged by everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I didn't like.
Let's bomb and figure it out.
Exactly.
After.
Exactly. So like.
So you went there. You took the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember?
I told my first joke, which was a, like. I can't even remember my first joke, to be honest.
No, I don't care about the one. I want to know the just, feeling you got.
It didn't work. The first joke didn't work, and I felt really shitty. And then I was like this.
Nobody wants to listen to you.
Oh, man.
Nobody wants to listen to you.
Yeah, but then I said something off of that, like off of that silence, and I was just like, I responded to it in a way that made them all laugh. And then I was like this. Oh, now you're in trouble. And then like I really felt like, oh my God, this is what I want to do forever.
Okay, so they laugh about something you said you're not supposed to say.
I respond, I told my first joke, it got nothing. And then I said something to address the silence, and then they all laughed.
Yes.
And then I'm like, oh, wow,
the drug, the drugs.
Yeah, that was the first hit, right?
And best then, drug ever, right?
Yeah.
More than the baseball?
I've done a lot of drugs. And weed is my favorite, next to comedy. Comedy is the best drug, by far.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, laughter, there's something about that, man. When you can see somebody, like, you've had this, I'm sure. When you see somebody that's like this.
Yeah, fuck them.
Like the other acts of the show. And then during you, they're like this. You're like, got you.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, it's all about, for me, it's all about that one person. It's like, everyone's having a good time.
I know.
But not you. Oh, let's see if I can get you to have a good time.
I talk a lot about that in my podcast. Like,
yeah, no,
why
yeah.
we focus on the guy who doesn't care when everybody laughs, you know? Well, I'm going to kill you.
Fucking you. Yeah.
So when you get back of this, when you get out of the stage, did you said, okay, it's for me?
Yeah.
No matter.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I've had it. I didn't die. I didn't die. I won't die.
And you don't have elbow problem?
No problems, none of that stuff. Yeah, and like, I felt great. I honestly.
So did you drink at the time?
I
remember if
kind of, but I didn't drink that night because I didn't want to stumble over anything. I didn't smoke weed that night.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Are you a big smoker at the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been like, a big smoker since I was about 17.
So why you did not smoke weed at the time?
Because sometimes I have a habit of stumbling over my sentences, and I wanted to make sure that didn't happen.
So you went...
But I did. I stumbled over sentences. Okay. That's the fucked up part.
Well, mate, now you smoke all the time?
Yeah. But I don't smoke... Like, when I do a show, I won't smoke weed... I'll smoke weed the last time, an hour. I have to have an hour with no weed before my show.
Okay.
So I'm up here and I'm starting to come down a little
because
bit.
Because now you know by heart.
I know my timing now. And then I'll have one beer while I'm on stage.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
I don't really drink that much, but I like to show it. When you have a beer on stage, it shows the crowd, oh, this guy's a good guy. He's just one of the boys. It's like, I find that like they're a bit more open to you. When you have a drink in your hand.
Ah, it's the reverse.
Yeah, really?
It's unprofessional for me.
Yeah, it depends. It depends.
For my side, you know what I mean? Me, it's like if you go to see a doctor and the guy take a shot of, hey, so we're going to look what you have, you know what I mean? For me, it's a job. I want to...
Yeah.
But I understand...
Also, like, I came up in the sales industry, right? And in sales, what's a very common thing is, hey, you're my client, let's go out for a drink.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how I was raised. Like, I'm British again. Alcohol is such a huge part of British culture.
Oh, yes.
You know? And for me, it never really was because when I used to drink a lot, I used to fight a lot. You know what I mean?
It's really?
Like, if you looked at me the wrong way, Sebastian, I'd try to put you through a wall. You know what I mean? I'd be like this. What are you looking at?
You're susceptible
a little bit.
It's weird, eh? You're not susceptible when you smoke weed.
Never, never. But because you think weed is much more like reflective. You know what I mean? It makes you take that extra time to think. This is why I like to smoke before I write. It's like you get really into yourself. You know what I mean? You can.
If I smoke weed and I put a white page, I'm gonna say, I love Doritos. You know what I mean? It's impossible for me.
For some people, like, yeah, I know some people who are into cannabis are like, everybody needs to smoke weed all the time. I'm not that person. I understand that cannabis doesn't work for everybody like it works for me. You know, it settles me down. I had ADD, nothing. I've got none of those symptoms anymore, except for when I work, I'll have my TV on too. So I can watch TV while I'm doing like writing or anything like that. I can always kind of focus on two streams of information.
But you need to be bipolar or...
you need to be something.
All like that, because yeah. It's not normal to be attractive of the bombing, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. Like, I think it's an artist thing. Art doesn't really come from a place of normalcy, right? It comes from a place of being outside and looking in at normal. You know, like, this is normal. I'm going to look in at it and give you my take on why this is ridiculous and you should laugh at it. You know, that's what we do. We're outsiders. We're just observing people and making fun of them.
Yeah.
You
know, some people said, you're special, eh? I said, yes, I hope. Mm. I don't want to be in the matrix, you know what I mean? I want to be outside of the box.
Exactly. And that's what I think makes people special. Connection is a big thing. If you can't connect with people, you're not going to do well.
Exactly.
Right? And the more things that you can connect with people on, the better you're going to be. And when you see people that have been doing it like you've been doing, and you've been going up and doing all of these fucking shows, it's because you're connecting with people.
Yeah.
You can be the funniest person on the planet, but if you don't connect with anybody, they're like this. The fuck's this weirdo just making noises and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, you need to connect. Yeah. You need to, like, it's very important to do that with a crowd, and there's some people that are very good at doing that.
How long did you understand that before in the
world? Before I started comedy, I did sales, and I was a sales trainer.
Yeah.
So I learned that I can get you to buy from me if you liked me. If you didn't like me, you're not going to buy. I could present, I could be like this, I'll save you $5,000now. And if you hate me, you're like this, fuck you, man, I'm going over here.
I'll get bowl of a bowl.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very big thing. And what I've been having fun with doing this last little bit is I've been writing jokes that kind of make me look like an asshole. But I sandwich it with my big, lovable, dummy guy bit. And it's been working really well. It's because, like, I've never had an applause break about beating up an 8-year-old before. I've got an applause break now about a joke about beating up an 8-year-old.
Because you know all...
framed it well. Yeah. I've got their trust. Yeah. I tell that bit, and I still hold their trust.
And they see the second degree.
Yeah.
So the fun part about who you are, it's you're not just a comedian. You don't wait about the phone ring. You do your own stuff too, you know?
Yeah.
You have so many rooms, man. You want to talk about that? Well, like the weed room?
I have a lot of weed rooms.
Yeah. Oh, you have a lot? I didn't know you have a lot of weed rooms.
I do cannabis shows in two provinces right now.
Okay.
I do them in Ottawa, and I do them here in Montreal. So, Ontario and Quebec. I also have a monthly thing called a studio sesh.
Okay.
Which is a cannabis show that happens in a recording studio.
Oh, it's a podcast?
No. It's a live comedy show that we're also going to record. We've recorded a bunch of stuff, and we're going to bring in those people and make it a podcast after we have about a back library.
Yeah.
So right now we have 19 shows. We've done 19 of these shows and recorded the audio for 18 of those 19 shows.
Wow.
So now what we're going to do is, like, when we have the headliners come in, we always offer them their tape after. We're like, hey, do you want your tape?
Yeah.
But then what we want to do is we want to do, the next time they come through, is it's kind of like this. Sit down, talk to them, and then put part of their stand-up in it.
Yeah.
And then the studio sessions. That's what this would be called. So we do that once a month. I do... for the ACCMQ, this medical cannabis company, they have a couple physical medical lounges in Montreal. I do monthlies in each of those locations now too, and I do a show in the Eastern Townships, and then I do fundraising shows for school boards. And
stuff. So where did you get that? Because this is another art, another talent you have.
Yeah, well,
because, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it comes out of a place of frustration, right?
Yeah, is it because a lot of door closed?
Yeah, like I'm unfortunately, I don't know through one situation or another, there are certain stages that I'm not really welcome on. And, you know, teach their own, it's their stage. I'll never be like, yo, fuck this person. But sometimes I'm like, yo, fuck this person. So I used, like, I realized that if I'm going to work, I have to do something about it.
Yeah.
So I created my own work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what I do that not a lot of producers in this city do is if you're on one of my shows...
You get paid.
You get paid. It's either, like, I have my studio set show. If you do my show and you open... You leave with a goodie bag worth about $125 in cannabis products.
Whoa.
Yeah. Find me another show that gives an opener $125 or anything. Doesn't exist.
No.
But because I'm on both sides of the coin, I'm a comedian and a producer, I want to make sure that you feel taken care of when you do my stuff.
Yeah.
So that way you're more likely to do more work for me, right?
And man, why are you sure it's not at Zoo Fest, man? It's, your concept is amazing.
Yeah, well, I've got something in the works for next year.
Okay.
There's something in the works, again, in that very same vein. The problem with...
Oh, and you have the two guys, the two fathers.
Yeah, I do Rad Dads.
What, like, is Rad Dads?
That's about, yeah. Rad Dads is a show I do with Walter Ling. And it's basically about, we became dads a week apart. Like, his wife
had... I saw the sausage and the barbecue. It's insane. Thing. Yeah. It's so funny. Man.
We do a lot of, like, that stupid shit. But it was just basically, it's like, how can we capitalize on being scared about being dads? So we wrote.
Yeah.
We just wrote and wrote.
It was at the Zoo Fest, right?
Yeah, twice. We've done it twice now. Wow. And we've had heavy hitters. We had Derek Sagan, Ali Hassan, Aaron Berg, who just has an Amazon documentary called 25 Sets, because he did 25 sets in one night.
Yeah, man, this was to be released like 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It's released?
I think it's released, or it's very close. I keep seeing stuff for it now, trailers and stuff.
Man, I want to see this documentary.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. But like,
he beat the record.
It's crazy. 25 sets in one night. Wow. But so I've been lucky that with Rad Dads, we've also toured it. We've gone out to Atlantic Canada. We've performed it now in 7 cities, I think. We've gone through Ontario. We've done New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, Ontario. Here, we're looking at going west next year. And then I have the Rolling Stone tour. The Rolling Stoned tour.
The Rolling
Stoned tour. Oh, just like the magazine. You know, like the magazine Rolling Stone?
So it's not the what exactly. It is.
It's the... You know the weed magazine? You know the magazine Rolling Stone magazine?
Yeah, yeah.
Now add a D. Rolling Stoned. I do it with Mike Rita, who is the best cannabis comedian.
I think I know him.
Dude.
Mike Rita.
If you do not know Mike Rita, stop this video. Put it on pause.
Don't find stop Mike Rita. The video about
play it, that. Play it after.
No, just remember his name. Don't go anywhere about that.
This guy is fucking...
Put that paper. Mike Rita.
Mike Rita. Write it down.
Yeah,
but I did this tour with him. Where
you're so hard with yourself. You just said to get out and see when you're amazing. He's way better than me. Stay with us.
I'm very humble.
So what is this? Is it
the eyes? Yeah, I got into glass blowing.
You believe in the Illuminati?
Me.
The third eyes?
No, I got into glass blowing, and eyes have always been like a big thing for me, right?
Why?
Like,
because you have glass?
I think I'm schizophrenic. I don't know. I heard that if you're schizophrenic, you focus on eyes a lot. And it's weird because I have a hard time making eye contact because of my anxiety disorder.
You have an anxiety?
I don't know if you've noticed during this conversation. No. I've looked at you for about 25% of it. The rest of it, I'm looking over here. I'm looking over here.
Yeah, I thought it was just because of your eye.
No. It's just how I am. I don't like looking at people because I don't know. It's how I grew up. It's like, oh, somebody wants to fight, right? So I'm like, I don't want to fight.
Yeah, but why you don't try to...
I do, and okay. I find I'm better when I'm using cannabis. When I don't use cannabis, I don't want
to
look.
No, but at the same time, it's weird to watch ourselves nonstop. It's like you want to kiss me, you know?
We're sitting real close here.
Exactly, but it doesn't... Because with the white screen, nobody know that, but you're right. You know, I can touch your body.
Oh my God. But that's it. Like, and
are you scared when people touch you too after a show?
Sometimes, because I had some weird touching.
Okay, but this is
I had like an older lady like grab my ass and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just like this.
So let's let's talk about you have two kids.
I have one kid.
I have one kid. Okay, I'll change.
She's 2 years.
I'll change your comedy with that. Because now you
once did again.
Are you more responsible
no.
in your life because you have a kid?
No. I take more time to think about things.
Are you more focused in comedy because now you have a kid?
Yeah,
you know time passed so fast because now you are 35 years old?
Yeah, exactly. And I wasted time, in my opinion, because I wanted to do it since I was really young. And I wasted all that time. And that's why I get so frustrated when doors are shut on me. It's just like this. Yeah, I don't have time to fucking wait around for you to realize that I'm worth watching. I'm going to do my own shit, and then maybe one day we can work together. If not, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't give a shit.
So what is your biggest goal in comedy? Maybe you're too shy to tell me because...
No, honestly...
But if not, I would love to know.
Honestly, it's just I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, man. I want cannabis comedy to be a viable thing for people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for myself...
I would love to be stoned at Zoo Fest at your show,
yeah,
man.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
I think it's important to it. Like, if you look... I don't know. You've not been to one of my new shows, but you should come check one out, man. Like, the vibe. There's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like it. And, like, there's people, like, I said it before, when I was performing in Toronto at one of these Weed Room shows, it's like, the crowd doesn't look like they should be in the same place together. You've got a bunch of old hippies, you've got young gangster boys, and then you've got college kids, and it's like, one group of people looks like they're going to rob the other two groups of people, but they're just all chilling out, having coffee and laughing. Yeah. Yeah. And when you see that, and you see how it brings people together, because again, it makes you reflect, it makes you stop and think about shit more.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see, and I think... people are looking for like comedy that doesn't punch down and comedy that's uplifting and all that shit. I think you find a lot of that at weed shows because we're trying to find different things that'll make you laugh that aren't going to offend people.
And it's legal. Is it still fascinating? Fascinate people because now it's legal? Because
I think
you did that before it was legal, you know?
I think it's different now. You know, the events are different now. You know,
more regular, more normal people come.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
It's not underground anymore, you know.
Well, yeah, I kind of keep it underground because I do a lot of things.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Some of my shows I keep very much word of mouth. Like you have to know me or know somebody that knows me to come to this show.
Okay.
Like
it's still secret.
I have some shows that are like that are super secret.
Okay.
But those are like.
So what is your ultimate goal? You said that.
Yeah. Well, my ultimate goal is to make like I want to own. Like I want to make this a thing, cannabis comedy. I want it to be
in Montreal.
If you come to do comedy in this city and you smoke cannabis,
you're supposed to know your night.
You know me.
Yes.
You know what I mean. I would like to ideally open up a club that's 7 days a week, where that allows people to consume cannabis as opposed to alcohol, because I don't personally like what alcohol does to people. And
it's worse than it's
it's dangerous to society.
People start to realize that. Me, I'm away if I drink two pints of beer.
Yeah,
the day after, I'm negative.
It's not a good.
I don't want to wake up. Life suck. If I smoke a weed before I sleep and I wake up, I'm just like, I'm gonna make a good coffee. Yeah, I'm gonna have an omelet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't say weed is perfect. You know?
No, it's not. You can very easily abuse it.
Exactly.
And I've had people say that.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I can still enjoy weed. You know?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
It's why I use. It's not too strong.
I've always
said. You're 22, no?
Yeah, I've always said when cannabis stops working for you, stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that simple. Like for me, cannabis has worked for me. It's helped me focus. It's helped me do a lot of things that I wouldn't have had the ambition to do. A lot of it's like I want to prove people wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I want to do this stuff. Like people don't think that cannabis comedy will work. You know,
fuck them.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, fuck you. I can prove it works. I did a warehouse show and I put 200 people in.
You're Envergadzis. I always say that, Envergadzis. You're before the time.
Okay, yeah, ahead of the curve.
Envergadzis.
Yeah, ahead of the curve. You're before, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Trendsetter, hopefully.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Kind of. I'm kind of.
Trust me. Soon, everybody's going to copy you.
Well, yeah. It's happened already.
Yeah, because it's legal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So I've had a few people. But the thing is like because I've been in the cannabis space for so long, not a lot of people have the access I have.
None. So are you happy where you are in the world of comedy? Where you are, you know? Do you still...
Yeah, for like, honestly, for the amount of time that I have in the game,
yeah,
I'm exceedingly happy.
Bro. You happy, man? Where you...
Okay,
where
I've, done comedy, I've done comedy for 5 years.
Yes.
All right? I've done Kooza Fest 3 of the 5 years. I've done Field Trip Music and Arts Festival in Toronto. I've done Zoo Fest twice. 5 years. I've done all that shit. And I started... The most
you have the father dads comedy.
Exactly. Rad Dads did Zoo Fest
twice.
Did
Piano show.
I did so many things. I had this warehouse show with Skunk Magazine. Now I do my own cannabis shows, and like to see where I've come in 5 years, I'm super excited to see where I can go in the next five. You know what I mean? To see what we can do for people, especially with this cannabis shit, man. I honestly believe that the people that I know that are doing this, there's three of us in the country that are really pushing. I'll give five just because I'm thinking about one venue now.
Let's say six
But the ones I'm going to give a shout out to are Mike Rita,
shout out
the OG Hisham Kaladi, Jay Freeborn, Andrew Packer, He does shows. He does the Jokes and Tokes comedy show. And no, that's it. Those four dudes, other than myself, are really kind of like pushing it. Mike Reed is doing huge theater shows in Toronto at the Grand Girard Theater, and he got them to agree to allow smoking of cannabis in the venue.
Wow.
It's amazing. Hisham runs shows at both Vapor Central and the Underground.
Wow.
It's great to see.
Yeah.
I wish I could see more of it, because it is something that I feel that we're underserviced. I feel like people in the cannabis community, we've been looked down on a lot. Stoners, you idiot.
But everything is going to stop
slowly, because people are going to realize that it's not what they've been fed for the last 80 years. Like some of the smartest, the sharpest minds of our generation indulged in cannabis.
Yeah.
And it's just something that I think just does not get the rap
that it
deserves. You know?
I think I'm so happy it's legal now. I know it's not perfect, like you said, but you have great concepts. So, okay, this is my last question, okay, man?
Yeah.
Do you think the Expo are back?
This is going to break your heart, but no.
No, you don't believe?
I don't believe that.
The policy, the people behind that?
No, because they're talking about that halfway, about the half season.
Yeah, with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Do you remember the last time that happened? That's when Montreal left, right?
Yeah.
And the other team, that the other place that
Puerto
they
Rico.
Split, Puerto Rico doesn't have a baseball team anymore.
I know, but it's another time.
I don't think we really have the room for it. Montreal, I don't think...
No, I mean, they want to build a stadium in Griffintown.
Yeah. Where?
Beside the Costco.
Where are they going to put the parking?
I don't know.
Exactly. That's the problem. Like, when you think of... The stadium, it's all well and good to be like, we have the stadium space. But think of the infrastructure. Have you ever driven around in Griffintown?
Yes, I live there.
It sucks, right? Imagine a stadium there.
I know.
It sucks.
I know.
You know, so
I'm happy it's the other side.
Yeah, now what they've been talking about before was up at the Hippodrome, right? At the top of Tacari, which would be great. But the problem is, again, you're too far out of the downtown.
But you're too much intense for the infrastructure. My goal is...
It's a big thing.
No, you know, it's important too. Mm-hmm. But before that, because you know what? You say that, but... Did you encourage for the last 6 years the preseason game with the Blue Jays at the stadium?
I went all the time.
Me too.
Everyone.
So you believe it?
Well, the problem is,
if you're there,
they had six games a season, six years. Yeah, for two games.
Yeah, 2 games.
That's 12 games total.
I know.
Do you think they could do that for 84?
No, it's just to show,
of course, yeah,
to the people that
I believe that it could be a thing.
I
would love it to be a thing.
Exactly, like, my point.
I grew up just outside of Toronto, so I was a huge Blue Jays fan.
Ah, me too. I lived two years there. It's a 50-game, man.
Yeah, my National League team was your boys. The Expos were my National League team. I would love for them to come back. I would be a huge
Expos.
I don't think that they're proposing it, the ownership group that's there, I don't see
it. And another thing, you start, I don't believe how they're going to split the home of Tampa Bay 41-41 game.
Come on.
I don't understand how the player, they're going to, you know what I mean?
I don't understand.
And, you know, why I will go see 41 game with Tampa Bay in Montreal?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So you don't believe it?
I would love it, but I don't see it happening.
Okay. Do you believe the Montreal Canadiens is going to make the playoff?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll make the playoffs. They're a good hockey team. I don't like the Canadiens, but they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're going to make the playoff this year?
Yeah. They'll be in seventh.
1 round, 2 round?
They might win one.
Okay.
They might win
one. So they're going to go at the second round.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not a hater. I know a lot of people from different cities like Toronto and Montreal the surrounding areas tend to hate each other.
Yeah.
I find it dumb.
So you think they're going to make the playoff?
I would like them to.
Okay. And so what is your favorite sport?
My favorite sport to watch?
To watch.
My favorite sport to watch right now has been basketball.
Because of the Raptor?
Yeah, that really opened it back. I remember going to the Raptors games when they played at the Sky Dome.
Wow.
Like, I went like six times to when they first played at the Sky Dome. Like, and I loved it. And then I kind of stopped watching once Vince Carter left Toronto. Yeah. I was like, they started to lose all the time.
Yeah.
And I'll admit it, 100% bandwagon. And then it started, they had a really good season. And then they had a really good season. Yeah. And I was like, this is just an exciting game to watch.
So why you don't have a Raptor hat? Why you have a LA?
Because I don't want to be a bandwagon guy. I always like baseball. Baseball's always been up there for me. You know, I don't like watching.
LA's going to win this year, right?
Probably. You think? So.
Are they going to lose again with the Astros?
Houston Astros are because a perennial threat.
This podcast is the World Series already passed.
Oh, okay.
So we
missed it. Congratulations,
except for we don't know.
But yeah, that's the thing about.
I hope LA is gonna win. First, think about that. Mm. They back to back lost World Series, man.
Gonna win.
And I hope they're gonna win.
That'd be nice. For them, it would be nice.
You know.
But as long as my theory when it comes to baseball is any team can win as long as it's not the New York Yankees. If the New York Yankees win a baseball, if they win the World Series, no, I hate it.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't like Yankees fans.
I hate the Red Sox.
The Red Sox?
Boston Bruins. I hate the Patriot. Yeah. The Patriot is the worst team I hate in the sport.
Big villain.
They deflate the ball. Okay. And you know another thing where I hate? Why Russell did not give the ball to Marshawn Lynch? Yeah. This is another reason why I hate the Pats.
That was a big one. And also, they took Tom Brady away from a long career with the Montreal Expos.
Really?
He was drafted by the Expos.
Wow, Tom Brady?
Yep. I can't remember what year, but he was high draft, too. He wasn't a low draft. So you guys could have had Tom Brady as a Montreal Expo. How would that have made you feel?
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Maybe a bust.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? That's the thing about baseball too. Is like these great athletes in other sports, like Michael Jordan,
Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray was drafted with the.
Really?
You know Kyler Murray?
No.
It's the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
He's the first guy who was drafted first round
in both
with both teams.
That's crazy.
Bo Jackson played both teams, but was not drafted.
Bo Jackson was a god.
You know what I mean? And the guy chose basketball. He chose football.
I don't know why.
Because maybe it's 16 game.
And it's that
money 16. Yeah. No, man, baseball pay well.
But because football over 16 games.
No,
pays
man.
A lot more.
Yeah, but it's not guaranteed. Yeah. Baseball, it's guaranteed. Yeah. No matter.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But odds are, if you're drafted first round as a quarterback, odds are you're making your money.
But it's more dangerous. Yeah.
It's true.
He's small, you know?
It's very true. And like that's the thing about, I don't know why anybody would choose to play football now. Knowing what you
know
what you know about the human body,
yeah.
Why are you playing football?
Yeah.
You know,
why you don't eat bubble gum
and do that
with ball?
Yeah, exactly. It's the best. And joke about the other team's mom and stuff, you know? Like football, I remember like watching these guys and just thinking, oh my god, look at them. Like Junior Seau. You remember Junior Seau used to play for the San Diego Chargers?
No.
Back in the day. He was a fucking big guy. He was terrifying. He shot himself in the chest so that they could study his brain for science because of concussions and shit from football.
Wow.
And they found out his brain was so degraded from just repeated.
Oh yeah.
And no matter what you do with the pads or the helmets, it's like, oh, they're super safe now. No.
No.
Because you don't realize that you're not putting it inside your skull, so your brain is still hitting the inside of your skull.
It's the movement.
It's like, that's what gives you a concussion, dummy. It's not that your head hit the ground, it's your brain hitting the inside of your skull. And like the football guys are like, no. Get out of here, you fucking idiots. Sorry, you're all much stronger than me. Don't beat me up, please. I'll press charges.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy because, you know, I knew it, who you are, but you never show to us. Because, you know, you're
a
big,
guy.
Strong guy, serious, but inside, you're a bear, a teddy bear, man.
Yeah, I think the problem is
like... Is it true?
No, the problem is I'm stoned a lot, and people mistake my stoned resting face for this guy's angry at me and he wants to fight me.
Exactly.
I've got, resting, I'm a fuck you up face.
Exactly. So next time you saw him,
I'm happy.
He's shy,
and
you know, but
he's
not... You don't scare me anymore.
I shouldn't.
No, but you're amazing, man.
Thank you, brother.
I'm happy for your success.
Thank you for having me, too.
Okay? Don't give up, man.
Never, bro.
No, it's why I did this podcast, to show to the people you're amazing. Yeah. And you have an amazing project.
Yeah, man. You know, keep coming out and supporting. Add me on Facebook if you want invites, because I don't put that shit public.
Yeah. Let's go smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know why I want to smoke weed now with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I want to eat Doritos.
Yeah, that's good.